One of the things that I think about a lot, because I lived in Boulder for 14 years, 13, 14 years, and I often think about this whole issue, and I think this is what the film is also bringing up for folks. And you were just talking about it, this whole idea of belonging. You know, so when we look at, who was it, Maslow's hierarchy of needs that he introduced, I think it was in the 1940s or so. And of course, you have food and shelter and that type of thing. But the one that I think receives, the one need that receives scant attention is that need of belonging, you know, of feeling a part of a place. And having lived in Boulder for the length of time that I did, I enjoyed it. I made great friends. You know, I enjoyed the city. I enjoyed the arts. You know, the university, you name it. You know, there was a lot. You know, there was a lot to partake of. But at that same time, that notion of belongingness was one thing I could never fully connect to or embrace. And what I hear a lot now, even though I no longer live in Boulder, what I hear a lot from Black folks who do is this notion of loneliness, of just feeling this hypervisibility and invisibility at the same time, and how that simultaneity, you know, of feeling can really wreak havoc. Can really wreak havoc with one's emotional and mental health and well-being. So, yeah, again, as I said, I think that's part of the reason why folks so embrace the film. I think one of the main reasons is seeing yourself, you know, seeing people who look like you,
Exactly.
people who are saying things that you have felt, you know, and wanted to express. I
Exactly.
think it also pulled us in. You know, it was that, oh my gosh, finally, someone heard me.
Exactly. That's the representation piece that I was talking about, that people are seeing themselves and they're like, yes, I want everybody to see this so they know how we really feel. And you know, something I noticed early on, just as a teenager first getting into video production, is the power of media. And so in a huge way, this career choice has been very strategic for me to be able to get these messages out as far as representation goes. So when, so not only are these people speaking to me and my camera, but I have, and my film team, we have a lot of hopes that this film does go far and go wide so that so many people can see it. We do not feel like this issue is unique to Boulder. There are plenty of towns like this
Oh,
that think that think
absolutely.
they're so happy and so liberal, but they're not looking at everybody in the community. And a lot of it is because of the population is so small. So why is the population so small? And in that documentary Blacklash, that was a question that I asked. So the answer I came up with was, we feel unwelcome. This is not necessarily a welcoming place for us
You know
because of
what's
that.
interesting? I didn't mean to interrupt you, Katrina. You know what's interesting?
Yeah.
When you go back to Blacklash, when you go back there, you know what it gets me thinking is that that was the prequel.
Right,
That was
right.
the prequel to This Is Not Who We Are.
It really was. So, you know, the interesting thing about my film team that I'm working with, their names are John and Barrett. They have their own production company called Landlocked Films. I am Black Cat Productions. Landlocked Films has made about a dozen films, and after Zaid Atkinson was assaulted, they were like, "What can we do to put a stop to this? Change needs to be happened." And they believe in the power of media, like myself, that it can bring awareness and bring change. You know, moreover, just not only bringing awareness, but giving people some tools and some advice on this is how you can take action. They've already made a few films, and I've been involved with the Boulder International Film Festival, BIFF, for years. So I've met them through that circuit. But just in passing. So they wanted to make a film about race in Boulder. That was just kind of their idea. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for people to work with. Came across me through a mutual friend, and I sat with them. They were looking for someone to work with as far as a camera person.
Got it.
I am. So I sat down with them and we were talking about my camera work and my experience. It's, oh, well, tell us more about your experience. You know, yeah, you know, I've taught at the college level, you know, and I do mentorships. I've produced a couple of films, you know, just, I just went on this list of what I've been doing and just since I was 18 years old. And do you want to be a co-director on the film? It was that easy. It was just that quick. Like, where have you been, Katrina? You know, and we're snatching you up. And it was especially after I told them about Blacklash, and they were impressed that this is something that I was already thinking about and has already been in my mind and I've already researched. Unfortunately, you know, I made this film Blacklash in undergrad, so I'm having the hardest time trying to find it, on whatever mini DV tape technology I used back then. I really look forward to locating that and revisiting it and listening to my interview that I had with the student body president and the professors at the time. I think it'd be really interesting, you know, as an adult and having all the experiences I've had, and especially after 2020, to look at it now, 10 or so years later. So
can I make a recommendation unsolicited because you didn't ask me?
Yes. Oh, I love it. No.
Well, sure. In terms of the premiere.
Yeah.
Because I think we need to have a whole kind of black carpet.
Yes.
Premiere. Yes. Of This Is Not Who We Are. And I think as part of it, there needs to be kind of a community response.
Yeah.
So showing it, but then kind of a major community response, because as I said, this has so touched people and so deeply. I think that has to be a part of it. I think it has to be a part of it. Let's rent out Mackie. Come on. Let's go big. Let's go big.
Yeah. I certainly have big dreams for this because it is, again, a time for that 18-year-old Katrina that moved to Boulder and was so lost and confused and didn't know how I was going to find my way in this town, because I saw nobody that looked like me and I didn't necessarily feel like doors were open and open for me because of that. You know, when you're young, it means a lot to see people in roles that are professional or that are inspiring and whatnot, you know, and especially, yeah, people that look like you, so you can see that possibility. And there's just nothing like that for me as a young person in Boulder. So what's great now, 20 years later, is that I'm making this film and I can give that representation. I can try to make that change through this film. And also when it comes out, I can help to celebrate my Black community and celebrate our voices. And so, no, I have big dreams about events and really uplifting the people in the film. You know, there's still new, there's still characters you haven't met yet that are just really going to tug at your heartstrings. And, I get really involved with the stories and the people that I work with. And so there's one little girl that we've been talking to, and from all she's been through, I just can't wait for her to be able to go on stage looking confident and beautiful and being celebrated for who she is.
Oh my gosh. You know? I just got a chill. Mm-hmm. I just got a chill. I love that. Yeah. You know what? I want to make certain that we don't allow the time to go by without me acknowledging your camera work in terms of kind of music, video production, and the work you've done at Red Rocks and all of that, because that's a big part of your portfolio. I mean, it's a big part of your portfolio. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, I just want to fangirl a little bit here. Who have you filmed, kind of music-wise, Petrina, that caused you to pinch yourself, caused you to say, I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I'm actually here.
Man.
And it might be several names, but who caused you to maybe pinch yourself and wonder, wow, how did I get here?
I have, as far as the times that my job of directing and filming concerts has blown me away, it's like every time. It's just amazing that I get to do this job. Yeah. And I guess I can remember the first time, it was my first season at Red Rocks. This was 7 years ago as a camera operator. And Nas, a hip hop artist, was performing. Uh-huh. And I don't know if he was the headliner. Well, anyway, we had the opportunity. Usually the videographers sit very close to the stage at Red Rocks, like, you know, and less than an arm's length away. So we
exactly.
filmed. Nas wanted for us to be on the stage. Well, one videographer to be on the stage to film him and get some really cool shots. There's some shots you can get at Red Rocks when, if you're on the stage and filming towards the audience, the seats are framed by rocks on either side, and it just looks amazing to see the night sky above that.
Oh, I'm sure.
And so what had happened was Nas was rapping, and he did the song One Mic that I know very well, a song I listened to in high school. And he goes up to the front top of the stage. He says, "All I got is," and the audience was going to say, "One mic."
Right.
So he points the mic to the audience. I am behind him with the Red Rocks framed on either side of him, all that huge, just massive audience in front of him. I'm behind him, kind of kneeling down, getting this beautiful shot. Kind of, he's a little silhouetted with that mic in the air. And I was like, is this real? And I just couldn't believe it, that I was there in this moment doing that, and everybody was watching my footage, what I was doing. And it was just amazing. I said, I love this. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. And there's a lot of steps at Red Rocks.
I know those steps, girl.
And I flew up those steps that night, just like ran up. I don't know what energy I had. I honestly don't remember my feet hitting the ground, but just with so much, my heart just felt so light. And I had realized this is my passion, you know, because not only was that so exciting, but I did a good job. Yeah. And it really, really built, it really gave me this huge interest in videography. Honestly, at that moment, there was a switch that happened with me, because I'd always wanted to do a lot of editing. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I thought I wanted to do after high school. But it was honestly that moment that changed so much for me. And, you know, as far as me being a director at Red Rocks, you know, I love that role, and I think that I am a great person for that role as the only person of color in that position ever. I have a wide variety of tastes in music, okay? And there's going to be some directors that don't like all genres, but I know a lot. And so when we have hip hop artists show up, like when Wu-Tang was there, or even John Legend was there, or Lizzo, I'm like, oh, I know these words. I know exactly how to cut this and film this when I'm directing. And so it really shines, and it really shows how much I understand this music when I'm directing. Whereas, it could be harder if you're not as familiar with the music, and that's just common sense. Yeah. You know, even when I'm filming bluegrass, which I love as well, but when I'm filming bluegrass at the Fox Theater, you know, if I know the song, that directing is going to be a heck of a lot easier, you know, and I can have a lot more fun with it than, you know, something that I don't know. So,
yeah. But again,
yeah.
You have painted this fabulous, I am so envious. You have painted this fabulous, but can I just kind of hold your bags next time you have
to. Of course, sure.
A position for a bag holder.
And sure, anytime, Michelle.
I'm good at it, okay? I have experience. But I was going to say before we end this segment, Katrina, which has been fabulous, it's been wonderful talking to you. What's on your mind these days? In other words, what's coming? What kind of story perhaps have you been playing with? Can you tease us with a little something that maybe you've been dreaming about or thinking about? Kind of what's on the agenda? What's coming? What can we look forward to?
Absolutely. Well, first off, really need to get This Is Not Who We Are finished. And, yes. You know, it's been a challenge because it seems like there's always something new to talk about. Mm-hmm. And more so every day, people are more willing to speak with us. Mm-hmm. You would be amazed that when we started production of this film over 2 years ago, it was actually hard to get people to want to speak to us about this. And even there were some people, more white people, were wondering, well, why would you make that?
Okay.
But again, it was, that's why we're making this, so that people are aware that there's this problem. So we need to get this done first. And, you know, I'd love to see it hit the film festival circuit. I've done a lot on the back end as core staff for the Boulder International Festival for years. So I've seen a lot of how things work, how films are selected. You know, I've picked the brains of many different filmmakers, including Rita Wack, who was the producer of the Maya Angelou film, and Still I Rise. We're friends because of Biff. And the woman from New York who created the Black Panthers documentary. These are all people that I have been meeting, you know, throughout the years through Biff. And it's quite intentional. It's always been quite intentional. So I'd love to go through the film festival circuits. And after making this film and after making The Science of Quarantine, I really feel like there are just so many other stories that I want to uncover about Boulder, about my own community. Okay. I don't necessarily have dreams to be big Hollywood. However, I mean, because the work that I want to do is the work where I live, and I want to change where I live at home to make this such a better place for my family and for myself and just for everybody else that I know. I want us to be proud of who we are. And I want, when we say that we're the happiest place, for there to be more truth in that, and to ring true for more people in the community.
Yeah, for it to really mean something. And if it doesn't mean something for the majority or most of the people who inhabit the city of Boulder, it means nothing.
Exactly.
It's empty. You know, it's empty and it has no meaning. You know, Katrina, it's interesting because, you know, as I think about your work and I think about just your filmmaking and that ability to just reach out, you know, and touch people in a way that nothing else can, you know, in that same way, it's just amazing. You know, it's just amazing. And what a gift, you know, what a gift that you have, and also that you offer, you know, that you offer up to us. And as I said, just so very appreciative of what you do, and maybe even more so how you do it. You know, how you do it. I again, just can't thank you enough. And I meant what I said about the bag holding at Red Rocks, because I don't know, I'm older now. I don't know how well I can make those steps that quickly, but I will do my best.
You know, we'll get one of those chair lifts, okay?
Oh, please, I'd love that. I would love that, absolutely. But thank you again for your time and sharing kind of your story with us. Speaking of storytelling, thank you for sharing your story with us. It has been just an absolute pleasure.
Michelle, I really appreciate you, and thank you for making me feel so comfortable doing this interview. I've always thought that my work would just speak for itself, which it has, but I never really anticipated that people would want to talk to the artist or really learn about the artist.
Oh, absolutely. So, speaking of which,
yes.
What we're going to do is we're going to post some information on the KGNU website for folks who may be interested in seeing the trailer. As I said, if you haven't seen the trailer, I don't know where you've been, but folks who want to see the trailer or want to see it again, and also who are interested in learning just more about this project. It's not inexpensive, and it's very time intensive. And so for folks who want to support the project in some way, shape, or form, I want our KGNU listeners to be able to do that. So we will post, as I said, all that information on the KGNU website. But Katrina, thank you again.
Thank you, Michelle. It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Black Talk.
Anytime.